Sandy Lehman of Cohasset is the freshman Republican Minnesota representative from District 5B. We talked with her at the beginning of the legislative session, and she is back with us today. Thanks for being with us, Representative Lehman.
Well, thank you, Heidi. Good morning to you.
Good morning. So now you're getting towards the end of the legislative session, and I wonder if we can start the conversation today talking about something you know a lot about and a bill that you have authored about the IRRB, that's the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. First, kind of give us a little background on how you've been involved in that in the past.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, Heidi. Well, I've been involved with the IRRB probably since the mid-1990s, and as an economic developer, and I was president of Itasca Development Corporation, and before that I was president of the Chamber of Commerce. And when we began having some regional issues, I became familiar with IRRB and their ability to convene people together and work on issues that might be resolved partially with legislation. So that was during the Commissioner Jim Gustafson era. And then later, as I became more active, I was named one of the first citizen members to the board. There was a period of time when there were three positions available for citizens on the board. They're no longer available. And then later on, when Governor Tim Pawlenty came into office, he appointed me as commissioner of the agency, and I served in that role for his full two terms, so it's 8 years. And so it's kind of interesting because I've played roles of partner, board member, and then commissioner. And one of the issues that was sort of not just nagging, but sort of the elephant in the room out there, was that in the mid 1990s, during the Commissioner Jim Gustafson's period in office, legislation was written to change the powers of the board. Change the powers of the IRRR board, which had been advisory, and change the powers significantly so that, in fact, the commissioner was not able to spend a dollar without approval of the board. So the board became more of a governing board rather than oversight and advisory. And that was a problem, and it really changed the dynamics between the commissioner and the board. And I think those Jim Gustafson years were probably some of the toughest years, as far as poor media for the dynamics and the culture of the agency. So that was on my mind. And then Commissioner John Swift came in and had the same issues and battled those issues in his own way. And I certainly did when I came on as commissioner, and I worked during that time to create legislation that would at least create a task force to look at that governance issue. But in the meantime, there had been a study done by a professor at what's now Hamline University and the law school that came out and said, you know, really the situation that changed in the mid 1990s. Made the structure of the agency unconstitutional. And so now we had a study and we had the basis in law saying that, you know, not only is it unworkable, but it's also unconstitutional.
Can you explain that a little bit? How did they say it was unconstitutional?
Sure. Well, the Minnesota State Constitution sets up three branches of government, just as the federal government does. And so we have the legislative branch, and we have the executive branch, which is the governor and the state elected, you know, attorney general and secretary of state, and so on. That's the executive branch. And then we have the judiciary. And the Minnesota Constitution says that no person shall serve in more than one capacity in one branch of government. So if you're a legislator, you cannot serve in the executive branch, and vice versa. If you're in the executive branch, you cannot be a legislator. So the situation we had with the IRRB is we had a state agency that happened to have a board comprised entirely of legislators. And the legislators were actually in authority over the expenditures of funds. So there's really two different ways that it was unconstitutional: separation of powers and holding dual roles. So, when we become legislators, we take a vow to uphold the Minnesota Constitution. And so it is troubling that we have a state agency that's very unique indeed, but it's structured in a way that really violates the Constitution. So the legislative auditor, when he was conducting an audit of the agency last year, decided to take a stab at that issue. And it had been troublesome, I think, to the auditor for some time as well. And so he made some recommendations. He made four different recommendations on how the agency could resolve that situation.
That was confusing to me when that report came out last year from the auditor, because it was recommendations. So unless a legislator takes it up and makes a change to it, them saying that didn't mean it had to automatically change. Is that right?
That's correct. The legislative auditor is an independent auditor, a nonpartisan, objective auditor. And he can point out deficiencies, but he doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. And so he relies on the agencies to correct, deficiencies that they may have. And in this case, the advice relies on the legislature to make the changes, or relies on a lawsuit to take it to court and have a judge make a decision. Well, I think everybody would prefer to have a legislative fix rather than have people spend time and resources in lawsuits. And so last year, actually, before I was a legislator, a Republican legislator took a stab at that and introduced legislation that was probably went a little too far, probably went farther than what was really needed. And it ultimately didn't pass because it was in the tax bill, and the tax bill was not signed. So when I came in, people really turned to me, as with my experience with the IRRB. There was going to be legislation, and I was pleased, having the background that I have with the IRRB, that people respected that and allowed me to craft legislation to address the OLA's findings and to address, frankly, the issue that had been around since the mid-1990s.
We're talking with Representative Sandy Lehman. She's from House District 5B. We're talking about her bill that addresses the IRRB. Sandy, you said it might have gone a little too far in the last session. Can you tell us about that and the bill that you have authored?
Yeah, sure. Well, the bill last year created a legislative commission and set up a rather significant separate structure, quite a bit different from what we have today. My bill retains the board membership, so it retains all the legislators that are on the board currently, but it simply takes the powers of the board back to what they were before that change in the mid-1990s. So it takes it back to what it used to be. And with that, we are told by the attorneys who worked on the report for the legislative auditor that we would be at least a little closer to being constitutional. My bill started out actually putting citizens up back on the board and having the board within the legislative branch. But I've been working with all of the board members, all the members of the Iron Range delegation, very closely on this. And so over time, I have continually changed the bill to reflect their concerns. And now we have a bill that retains the board as it is, turns it back to be an advisory board, and corrects a lot of old language. So it is really confusing to people that the IRRB is both an agency and a board. So in statute now, the agency is the Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, and the board is the Iron Range Resources Rehabilitation Board. So just some of those perceptions that are and confusion, hopefully, will be corrected with this bill. When I introduced the bill, I asked Senator Tom Bach if he would be the Senate author for the companion bill, and he readily accepted that. So his bill and my bill moved through the process, moved through the committees, and then he and I sat down with other members of the board and crafted the final language. And it was conferenced in the jobs bill. We have a committee called Job Growth and Energy Affordability. It was conferenced in that bill, and which passed off the floor of the House, the conference report passed off the floor of the House yesterday and was vetoed by the governor last night. So the governor has pledged to veto all of the bills coming out of conference committees. And so the jobs bill containing this IRRB reform was vetoed as well last night. So now we go back to conference committee for each of these budget bills, and the leadership sits down with the governor and hopes that we can move more quickly to an agreement with the governor so that we can begin passing the second round of bills this week before our deadline.
What's your take on why the governor is vetoing what comes out of conference?
Well, when they begin to go, and then when I say they, I'm talking about the leadership, the majority leaders and the minority leaders of the House and Senate sit down with the governor and begin negotiating. And the governor didn't seem ready to begin negotiating on the budget targets. The large budget targets. The governor and the legislature are about $1 billion apart. And so it would make sense to really start there with those numbers. But instead, the governor wanted to talk about policy. There's lots of policy provisions in any budget bill. There always is. There's policy reforms that go along with setting your budget. But he was not ready to talk about numbers. He wanted to talk about policy. So there was very slow movement. And so after several days of really no progress, the legislature already had 10 budget bills that they had agreed on. And so they said, well, you know what, we're going to pass these bills and send them to the governor. And, you know, maybe he'll sign one or two, and at least we can get a start. He did not. He decided at that point that he hadn't negotiated to the point where he, you know, desired, and he would, rather than looking at them individually, he would pledge to veto each one. So that's unfortunate, and because there's some good legislation in there that I think he could have approved. But now we're back, and I'm hoping that they can really tackle that $1 billion difference and get to a number that they can agree on, because I think things will fall into place much more quickly once that's accomplished.
I know you need to get to the floor. We talked to you at the beginning of session. How are things going now, being a freshman legislator?
Yeah. Well, I'm still liking the job, Heidi. and the reason I do is because I'm able to work on things that are important to me, like the IRRB, really making some conforming changes there that need to, you know, have been long needed, and now have the ability to do that. I think that IRRB reform will ultimately be signed as part of the jobs bill. But then also helping, we work broadly on state issues, but while I've been here, I've been able to respond to needs of citizens and small business owners that have contacted me with, maybe it's been legislation that's been problematic that we've been able to change, or it's been a need that they have that we've been able to solve, or even it's just questions that people have about what's happening with a bill that they're interested in. And then the 13 bills that I've chief authored, 11 of them are still moving forward. One I pulled on my own because it needs more work. One was not passed, and that was a statewide small business tax exemption bill that I was working with the Greater Minnesota Partnership on. But the others are primarily serving our area, and they're all still alive. And so that is really rewarding for me, that I'm able to point to things that really make life better for people in our district, and to just to be a part of that is very rewarding. So I'm really hoping that we do end on time. I'm hoping that we can get closer with the governor. We're all expecting that. I know we're not hearing that in the media. We're hearing government shutdown and so on. There's really no reason for that. I think we have time to do this, and we've all been told to stay close and be ready to go to the floor at any moment, and which I'm going to be doing here in about 1 minute. So we're ready. We've got our sleeves rolled up and ready to go and get this thing done.
If you want information on the bills that Representative Lehman mentioned, you can go to her site on the Minnesota Legislature website, and also contact information there if you want to get a hold of her. Representative Lehman, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Heidi. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks.